welcome to another live episode of Stuck in My Mind. I am your host, W-I-Z-E. I have a very special guest. He's a fellow podcaster. He's an entrepreneur. Oh, man, he has a lot of hats. So we're going to talk about all that when he comes on the show. Welcome to the show, Daniel Martinez.
Man, thanks for having me on. I do have a lot of hats.
All right, we want to start off with, what is HiveMind?
So HiveMind is a software SaaS company we started about 2 years ago. It's a software to help small businesses organize. So usually people are using spreadsheets and paper and writing on their desk, and it's just like a mess in most cases. So HiveMind is it's a software CRM to help them get organized, whether it's invoicing, websites, collecting payments, texting, emailing, and a lot of courses. I mean, link trees, you can go a bunch of different directions with it, but it does a lot more than just like a CRM. It does a lot of cool things. And we use it in all our businesses in different ways, even podcasting with calendar integration, stuff like that.
So is it a way for you to help small businesses get automated?
100%. That's what it is. So a lot of solopreneurs, they have to wear like all these hats. They're the salesman. They're the marketing engine. They're the coordination of whatever product they're delivering. They're the customer service. They're doing all these different things. So this kind of helps them organize and automate in different processes. So you can automate your marketing to get more clients. You can automate your follow-up if they miss a call or miss a meeting. You can automate your nurturing or upsells into other products or services. So it's kind of a one thing you need to like build and automate and scale your business. You got to get a CRM. It helps with everything. If you have a podcast, I mean, what are you doing right now? You're hopefully building a list. If you have a podcast, if you have a product or service, you're hopefully building your list of customers and clients that listen to your show, whether you're going to offer them freebies or, hey, we have an event coming up that you have a chance to meet me and sign my autograph book or whatever. You know what it is? Hopefully you're finding a way to build that list. And that's kind of one way to use a CRM. So there's a bunch of different ways to use it, whether you're in car sales, podcasting, e-commerce. Like, you always need a list and build your list, and you need products and services to build out and nurture that list.
And that's something when I first started podcasting, I had no idea. These are things you don't learn. Like, I am an independent podcaster. So these are things I've learned on my path here, on my journey in podcasting, that these are things that have helped me as a podcaster, especially automation with getting my emails out, getting newsletters. What if I want to help with throwing the new episode, getting that out to the audience out there. So building an email list is definitely something that I highly recommend for anybody out there, for any business.
Any business. Yep. It's like step number one. Build up your customer base, upsell them to your base products, and push them up to the higher tier level of products. Hopefully get the most you can out of that customer. And if you have reoccurring products, it's always a bonus.
So something that interested me was that, because me and my nephew, one of the things that our goal is to build a community, build our own community. And you're into land, selling land. And what's the difference between buying land and just buying a piece of property with a house on it?
There's a lot of differences. So people are always going to take care of number one first. So they're always going to make sure they have a roof over their head. Once you really think about this, okay, if they're going to take care of house number one, that's why a lot of investors, they like houses, because people are always going to take number one. Well, on the flip side of that, if you look at this, so the coin is, people that buy land can afford to, and it's not priority one, it's priority maybe 5 or 10, and they can afford to. So what we're doing, our whole niche in the land space is we buy large tracts of land and we subdivide it and sell it to individuals that can afford to. So not everybody can go out and buy 100, 200 acres, but they can buy 10 or 20. So that's what we do. We'll take the 100 acres down to 10 or 20, and then we'll sell it to 10 people versus one individual person owning that 100 acre lot.
Okay. So in a way, you're kind of building your own community with having people.
100%, man. A lot of the property has been handed down generation to generation, and yeah, it's inherited. It's just passed down. There's 100% equity on it. The banks won't lend on it, and the people that have it usually inherit it, or they paid cash for it in most cases. So what we're doing is we're taking that land from them and making it affordable to hand back to the individual. So most of our clients are minorities and Hispanics. We deal a lot with them. We deal with a lot of like blue collar people. Our space is like within 60 minutes of any major city because people are willing to commute.
This show is sponsored by HiveMind CRM. It is more than just a CRM. It is a real estate and business mastermind that comes with an all-in-one CRM. You can have unlimited websites and users. You can call, text, RVM, and email all in one user interface. And you can set up custom automations for any type and multiple businesses. 65% of companies start using a CRM system within the first 5 years of business. Once implemented, the HiveMind will save you on marketing, give you more time, and make more money. One of our users had his first $100,000 month using our system in June. We want to see you automate and accelerate your business. Text us at 210-972-1842 for future meetings and, of course, to get our $1 course on how to make more than six figures on one land deal. You can schedule your free demo today at HiveMindCRM.io.
Or hunt within their range. I'm not going to travel. I mean, it's not that they're not going to do it, but they'd rather travel an hour to go hunt on their property versus 6 hours, you know?
So oh, yeah, I know. I understand it because I'm 2 hours away from New York City.
Okay.
And so a lot of people come. I'm a Brooklyn boy, born and raised, but I live in the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania now. And so a lot of people commute to work from here to the city. And then a lot of people buy their homes, like their weekend homes, where they're going to get away and out from the city. Like you said, hunting. Hunting is big up here. A lot of people come up here hunting.
Yeah, and that's all it is, man. People want a place not too far away from where they work or live to either have a second home, have a hunting land, maybe build another property out there and move out there, and they'll just commute to work. They have their space and land, and they might shoot on their property, they might hunt on their property. They might do all of the above. It's recreational use or private use, you know? So that's kind of our end buyers that we're selling to. And like I said, the people that have it, they just inherit it, and there's no attachment to it. The thing I love about it is that they don't have very many options. With houses, they can rent it, they can Airbnb it, they can let their cousin live in it. You know, they have all these different options. They can sell it, they can lease it, they can do all these different things. Land is just there. They really don't know how to monetize it. And that's where we come in. We know how to monetize it. We know how to create a win-win solution with them, and we come up, and that's how we do our land development and land acquisition.
So what led you to this? What made you want to help people?
For the software side, my pain point was I was struggling to get organized, so I saw an opportunity to create software, and then it helped me and my business immensely. We have multiple businesses all run through the software, and it's helped us a lot. And now we've had 16 clients hit six-figure months. So I'm like, if I could have 1, 5, 10, 20, like now we're hitting numbers where they're having $100,000 gross profit months. I'm like, okay, I can help thousands of people. So that's kind of like my software why is like, hey, if I can help more businesses make more money, there's a trickle-down effect from their employees to people they're actually helping to people that they employ, that it just trickles down to their family, you know, that might create wealth through other people's family. So it's kind of like a trickle down effect of helping people accelerate. And I mean, we live in the United States of capitalist country.
Yes.
When people make money, like people are like, oh, flippers are the worst. We got to think if a flipper is doing a lot of jobs in a certain space, there's contractors, subcontractors, there's plumbers, there's roofers, there's trash out companies, there's agents, there's all these different trickle down effect that people are getting paid through that one transaction. It's the same thing in business. So when we do land, there might be a blue collar worker that's going to come in and clear some of the, put the fence up. There might be a handyman that's going to lock the gate. There's going to be agents there that do all those things. So there's a trickle down effect that boosts the economy in its own way, just by having so many different people that put their hand in the pot that you need to facilitate the sale of the land. So there's a huge benefit that comes around just by doing good business and doing business well. There's a huge trickle down effect that it doesn't just affect you. It affects a lot of other people as well.
And that makes sense. That makes sense where with you helping them, their homes and their lots and all that, you're actually giving businesses other small business opportunities to, like you said, an electrician, handyman, all these people, they gain employment from projects like this.
100%. And that's all it is. When you really think about it that way, you bring a lot of, like, in the middle of nowhere town, that has little work. I mean, if you come build a development out there, I mean, that provides work for all new people that might come in just to work there. You know, it's a cool process that happens.
No, anytime you, it's a different feeling when you're able to help people and help small business, because like you said, it's capitalistic society, but it's more focused and geared towards big business. Mm-hmm. And anytime that you're able to help small business owners achieve greatness and achieve things, That's a plus, man, because now you're helping so many different people and the dynamic shifts. Because, again, that's why I do my podcast, is to be able to share the information from people like yourself to help small business owners grow and develop. And this program's like, there's so many different programs that they can use to help. Like, I need to get automated. I know that for the fact. I know needing to get automation is something that will help me immensely, because it'll take off a lot of the hats that I wear being an independent podcaster.
Okay. That's one thing that I do too. So like, I have my own podcast episodes. I have my VA. Hey, I have, here's the name of the title. Here's the YouTube link, and schedule it out for that day. So every time there's a podcast release, it goes out to the email list. Boom. Hey, we have an episode. Check it out. Click linked below. Watch it. So right now on YouTube or Apple, Spotify, whatever you want to do. So it's really connecting with your audience effectively. And then when you get responses back, or you get feedback back, or any type of feedback is good, whether it's like, hey, I love these emails, just send them every time. It helps build more a relationship with your audience. And I think that's the whole thing about podcasting and doing stuff like this in general. It helps connect your audience relationally without having a conversation with them.
Yeah, that makes sense. So what made you get into podcasting?
I saw it as a way to build more credibility with my audience, because you can have a one-on-one coaching business and direct sell all your customers, but if you can find a way to connect with them in a different way and build a customer comfortability where you can sell them without selling them. And that was the biggest thing for me. Like, I don't actually like sell on my podcast, but it's one of those things where like, I've had people come in for my podcast and spend money with me without me ever speaking to them, just because they felt like they knew me through podcasting.
Well, we've known each other, the owner of the business, I've known her since kindergarten. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and it's, I'm apologizing to her, because I'm about to blast her and put out her age. But yeah, we've known each other over 40 years, and she saw that I was podcasting. She was like, oh, and I posted one day, I was like, I'm looking for sponsors for the podcast, any small business owners. And she was one of the first people to hit me up like, bro, let's do this. Let's get this done. And so to be able to have someone that I've known for such a long time, and she's a very successful entrepreneur. She's very intelligent and smart. And it's just being able to reconnect with her, because we had lost touch for some time, to be able to reconnect. And now at this point in our lives, it's just an amazing feeling, man.
No, and that's the cool part about podcasting. Like, I've had people, not that people reach out to me. Oh, I actually have had people reach out to me from when I grew up. They're like, hey, I see you do with this hive mind thing. Let's talk about it. And I'm like, yeah, it's cool, man. And it's like stuff you wouldn't even like think about having reaching out to them, but it's one of the things where they might find some type of connection that, like, I've known this person for, I grew into high school for 15 years, you know?
Yeah.
there's some type of standing relationship there. And it's cool to reconnect with old people, old souls, because like as you get older your life kind of branches out
in different ways, yeah,
in different directions. And it's not that there's not love there, it's just the love has been spread apart or whatever.
No, it's with time, like you start, especially now with me, the way I've been attracting the people that need to be in my life at this moment, that mm-hmm. that need to help me get to the next level. And so that's what it is that you don't intend on stop being, because I have friends that I 30 plus years that we have friendships, and we might not speak for a few years. And then when we do speak, it's like we pick up right where we left off. Mm-hmm. So it's those type of relationships. And then, but now one of the key things is surrounding yourself with people doing what you want to do, or being where you want to be at. Cause everyone needs a coach. Everyone needs a mentor. You can't do this alone. I went and did the research and started learning and took courses, but I went and sought the help that I needed to help me improve. And there's still things I need to work on.
Yeah. Well, what's cool about like entrepreneurship in general, and I talked about this earlier today, is that when you go out and start something, people will come out and help you. Whether it's somebody you're talking with or people that saw you in the past, they'll actually come out and help you because you're coming out and doing something that it's against the grain. So people want to support people want to support, like,
they want to see the action. They want to see the action. Yeah. They want to see the action. And it's amazing, because I have so many fellow podcasters reach out and be like, hey, what's up? Let's collaborate. Let's do this. Because they see the grind. They see me posting every week. I do three live shows 3 days a week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then I go and I co-host a couple of another show on Friday, Thursdays and Fridays, which is live. Big shout out to my man Snowman in the morning with Cole Johnson. He actually said good evening to us. Yeah. What's going on, Ben? BS3 Network. We're live on his network right now on the Roku channel. And then Rod, what's going on, Rod? Another fellow podcaster. And that's one thing I love, that podcasters are very loyal to each other.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks that this community, no, this is one of the greatest communities out there, because we know, especially independent podcasters, they know the work that you put into your podcast. So some of them have become some of your biggest fans, because they see the work that you put in and they're like, dude, keep doing what you're doing. And they just keep bigging you up. And that's some of my biggest supporters of fellow podcasters.
It's a long-term play. Like, how long have you been podcasting?
Now 3 years.
3 years. It's like one of those things. Like, it's like a 3 to 5 year play.
Yeah. It takes time.
It takes time. It takes effort. It takes a lot of consistency, seeing no results. And that's what, I mean, I struck a nerve apparently.
No, because when you first start, like, you get no downloads. Like, but when I first started, I understood why, because I didn't know. I was just uploading. I wasn't doing anything else. I wouldn't put in descriptions. I wasn't doing none of the stuff that I needed to do. But somehow I still gained a little bit of traction.
And once I
started doing those things, putting in creating thumbnails, creating descriptions, titles. Because if you go back and you look at some of my audio files, right, and you see the thumbnails that I first did compared to the thumbnails that I do now,
it's night and day. I tell people all the time, because, like, I was afraid of speaking before I started my podcast, and now I do this all the time. Like, this is my second podcast today. And it's one of those things where, like, I was afraid to speak before, and now I've grown comfortable. I know what I'm going to say. I can free flow with, like, this conversation. Like, there's no scripted questions here. If you listen to this, he didn't tell me what he's going to ask me.
My show is not scripted.
Mine is neither.
There's no script to my show. I just love to have people come on, have great conversation. And then, of course, you're providing the service. You're providing something that people need. So that's why I love to have my guests on. And so there's no script, because I want people to come on and just be themselves.
100%.
I don't want them to come on and be all sounding all like they're just here to sell a product.
Yeah.
I want them to come on and be themselves, to be see people. I want people to see them as a human. Like, oh, this is a regular dude. Yeah, he's got a product that he's selling, but he's just a regular guy like me. Let's see what he got to say.
100%. Like, I've guested on so many shows, and a lot of them, like, here's the 5 questions we ask. Have them ready. Have your answers ready. I'm like, I don't even look at the questions. Let's go. like I don't even care what questions you ask.
I've had guests send me a list of questions that they would like to ask.
Yep.
And I'm like, yeah, that's not happening.
Thank you.
I'll take the list, and it's not happening. It's like those questions are not going to, unless this is one of the questions I already had intended I was going to ask.
Yeah.
But other than that, you're not going to come on my show. I'm sorry, future guest, but you're not going to come and dictate my show and tell me, yeah, I need you to ask me these questions. I know, for the most part, I have an idea of what my guests do, and I know the product that they're pushing or whatever. So I tend to ask those questions, but you're not going to come and have a list of questions for me on my show. No.
Yeah. It's crazy out here, man. And that's where, like, whenever those guests come along, I'm like, I don't even want to have you on. I'm like, if you're not going to come on here and be authentic, I don't even want to have a conversation.
Yeah. If you're going to just come on and be salesy, sales. Nah, I need you to come on and just be yourself and let people, see you as a regular person.
Yeah, 100%. That's the key. For all everybody listening to me, like, for me, I like podcasting because it kind of, like, encapsulates me today, right now, forever. And if my kids that are 5, 3, and 2 come back and listen to this episode, and I don't know, they might not remember what they're doing today, but they can see their dad on February 13th. This is where my head's at right now. And they might be able to see a difference from 2 years ago to now, and maybe 5 years in the future. I don't really care. It's not that I'm gonna stop doing it. It's just that I hope they see progress. And I think as one of the things that I wish I had with my dad is that you forget, like, conversations you have with your loved ones just because time passes and stuff fills with other things that are more important at the time. And you don't really remember, like core meaningful conversations that you had with your loved ones before they passed.
Yeah, I definitely feel you on that. And for me, it's leaving something for my grandsons, my grandkids, and
yeah, there you
and
go.
And for that, y'all, listen, like, like my, I have a grandson who's he's a frequent guest on my show.
Awesome, man. That's cool.
When he's in the house, he tends to just barge into my studio and make himself known.
And that's how it should be. Like, I've had episodes where you can hear my son crying or my daughter crying, and I'm like, I don't edit that stuff out because it's real. Like, this is
I don't unless it's really here. Really bad. Unless it's really bad and you can't, then you have. But for the most part, no, I don't. When I've had him cut the power on me a couple of times. And so I'm like frozen and the guest is speaking. And then when they realize that, I'm like, oh man, he's gone. So I've had guests who were fellow podcasters and they keep it going. And so, but you mess around. So when I released those, when I released that video or whatever, this is prior to me going live. When I released those videos, I would just edit it and make it fun of it. Like just put in a clip of, please stay tuned while we recover from technical difficulties or whatever it is.
The Wi-Fi
went out, reconnect. Yeah, just whatever it is. But you have to have fun with it. You have to really, he's done it a few times already where he see the bright light under my desk and he just presses the button. He don't know what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah. We don't have the luxury of we're on air studio sticker outside.
Yeah, that's one thing I need to invest in is that light, is the sign on air. Do not disturb, yeah.
This is one of the things where like, I've seen podcasts start with a cell phone and voice recordings in the middle of a car on a car ride. Like I've released a couple episodes in that. Like me and my partner were just in the car and we're like talking. I'm like, dude, we should just record this. So we just record it, and it's an episode that we release. It's not like it's the audio quality is the best, but it's one of those things where like, hey, we're having a meaningful conversation about stuff that other people can be privy and hopefully learn from. Let's just record it,
bro. I remember when I first started, man. I didn't have any of the equipment that I have now. Then this mic right here was, I love my mic. I really do. It's one of my prized possessions is this mic, is the way it's just, but people can start, like you said, people can start with anything. You can start with your phone. And I just felt that I just wanted to invest in myself. Mm-hmm. And to me, investing in myself was getting better quality equipment. And the stuff, what I started with was decent. What I started off was $160 Behringer Studio from Amazon that came with a mic, mixer, and headset, and it did everything you needed to do. It recorded it. I would connect it to my laptop, record my episodes, and then use Audacity to edit it. Yeah. And so that's how I started. And my nephew was like, when I first released my first episode, was probably like 5 minutes long. Wasn't even that long. Uh-huh. So he was like, nah, we gotta wait till we perfect. Can't release it. I said, nah. I want people to see where we started. I want them to realize this is where we come from. This is how we started. And look at the progression now. Look where we're at now. To what I did was I retitled the introduction. I left the first 5 minutes and then I added another 35 minutes of new content and titled it the introduction, reintroduction, and that, and I re-released the episode. So you get the original episode, the first original 5 minutes, and then you get a new episode following that. So it was cool to be able to do something like that.
Yeah. And like I said, you do not even know the impact you'll make right now. You don't even know.
No, you don't. But there's been times where people do message you. Like when I first started, I got ghosted so many times. So many times that people would ghost me. Cause I'm a new podcaster. They don't like, yeah, dude, you ain't got the numbers for me. I ain't coming. I ain't showing up. And then but people start seeing you and they're like, okay, you're consistent. You're doing it more and more. You're doing it. Like I did the research. I was like, oh, after 6 or 7 podcast episodes, people kind of burn out and then they just disappear. Once I got to like 20 something, I'm like, all right, I'm good. Let's keep going. And I haven't stopped. I've just been recording and recording and recording.
Yeah, I probably did something crazy. I did, I pre-recorded 50 before I launched, and then I launched and I did, it's been a year and it's been about 15 months or so, 16 months. I'm at like at 330. It's crazy.
Oh no, I know what you're talking about. Like last year, prior to me even going to video, just recording audio strictly, I was probably recording 6-7 days a week.
Yep.
Maybe recording 3-4 episodes a day. So as far as audio content, I have over 300 and something episodes just in audio. That's that great. I probably haven't released.
You should release it. Just release it, man.
Yeah, but so much, so much content. Like I'm gonna release them. I'm releasing them here and then. Just I'm going back and I'm like, all right, this was a good audio one. Let me release this. And but I have to go. I have to continuously go back, and I have like little discs, like with little, just with nothing but like 2-3 months of episodes.
That's good. That's good. And this is like I commend you for being extra.
What do you mean being extra?
Because like I talk to a lot of podcasters. They're like, I do one a week and that's my schedule. I do 2 a week and then I'm like, yeah, I was doing like, I released like 7 a day for 3 months.
But I feel you. I know. At one point, it was a day where I recorded 4 episodes back to back to back, 4 different shows.
It's exhausting.
But listen, but by the time I was about to the 4th show and I was done with the 4th one, the guests knew I had done 3 shows prior. Mm. And they were like, thank you so much. I'm like, why? Because they're like, because you still have all this energy. And it's because the 3 prior episodes were so much fun.
Yeah.
That the transfer of energy was just great. So I was just wired. By the time I was done with the 4th episode, I was just wired because all 4 conversations were fun conversations. So when you have those type of conversations, it doesn't drain you. It actually recharges your battery. So you're like, okay. So like after this show, it's going to take me an hour or so to unwind because I'm going to be wired from the conversation, just the transfer of energy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a cool space, still a lot of opportunity out there. And I tell my clients all the time, start a podcast. It might make you uncomfortable for a little bit, but you'll enjoy it. And you'll see, if you do it consistently for a long time, you'll see long-term ramifications of that.
Especially when you talk about something you love to talk about. Just find something that you enjoy. It's therapeutic. It's therapeutic. It's definitely something I didn't know I had a voice. And so it was like, oh man, this is a great space to be able to express myself, to be able to be myself and just hang out and just talk.
This is one of the cool things about it is that there's a lot of like imposter syndrome when you first start. It's like, I have a voice, but I don't think anybody cares. And then when you start doing it, you're like, I'm doing it because I know someone will care eventually. And then the people come.
Listen. It took me probably like 3-4 months, 5 months to even reach 100 downloads. Like it took some time for me to even get into triple digits. Like I mean total downloads. I'm like talking about just a couple hundred downloads. Mm-hmm. It took me a few months. And then to see months where I'm getting now a couple of 1,000 downloads a month, it's like you could just see the progress and you're like, okay, something's going on. It's like you're doing something right when you're able to see the trends. You can see your podcast is doing well. And one big key is now people are asking you to be on your show. People are sending you messages. Like I get a different email every day from someone like, hey, this person will be a perfect guest for your show. Cool. I remember the times when people just wouldn't even return the email, wouldn't even return a message.
Yeah.
But now I found Podmatch, which we use, both of us use, and actually got to meet Alex last year, and I actually got to hang out this year with Alex at PodFest. That this app is great. This program is great because one thing for podcasts is one of the hardest things for you to find is guests.
Yeah.
It's not easy. You join all these Facebook groups and all this other stuff, and you end up getting podcast promoters every day sending you, can I promote your podcast for you? Man, so that's why sometimes these
podcast promoters.
Yes. So that's why sometimes the Facebook groups can become annoying. So when I started using Podmatch, it was like, oh man, this is awesome. Like, you mean I get to put in what kind of guests I actually want on my show, and it's linked me up with some great guests. I've had some great conversations with people from the app. And I love it. And I recommend all podcasts, if you having struggles finding guests for your show, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be Podmatch. You can sign up for different ones, but I highly recommend you use those services because it will make your life easier.
it's getting with people that want to do it, because this is a very niche thing that not everybody wants to do. Like,
yeah,
people just aren't, hey, let's just record this conversation in the car for 30 minutes. Like, he sounds strange talking to asking somebody that. But it's one of those things where, like, when you're talking to the right people that understand the power of it, that want to do it, it's not a sale. It's just like, hey, when are you available? And that's the conversation.
No. I've learned, I've upgraded, I've got me a calendar in the last couple of years and book my schedule and make sure I'm always like, that's one thing. I'm always tweaking the show, and I started audio, then I went to pre-recorded video. Then this year I transitioned to live, doing three shows live. And so, and right now I'm interviewing three guests a week.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to cut back and just interview one guest a week. I'm still going to do three shows, but I'm cutting back to Tuesdays is going to be the days that I interview a guest. Mondays are going to be Mindset Mondays, Wednesdays is going to be more of a freestyle where I might have a panel come on and stuff like that. But it's just me again, tweaking the show, because it just feels like this is the direction I want to go with it. And you never know, it might hit. It might be a hit. People might enjoy the Mindset Wednesdays. And I figure it also gives me an opportunity more now to really focus on promoting my guests that week. Instead of having three guests and not have to spend time on each and every one, now it's that time where I can just focus on the one guest and just promote them and celebrate them.
Yeah. No, it's a cool, man. I enjoy it. Like I said, I enjoy the conversation. I enjoy the variety of guests. Like I said, people have what makes us individuals as interesting as individuals is that we all have your own individual story. Yeah. And it's going to weigh differently with different listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I used to be a truck driver, blue collar. I used to be a truck driver. I used to load trucks. I was a forklift operator.
You went and created a program to help small. How does that happen? Like going from being a truck driver to doing what you're doing.
So I think it was always in me. Like I've always been like, I just turned 30. I turned 31 this year, but I was younger. I saw the transition of like analog to technology. Whereas like people, like all my kids, they're going to be like technology everywhere. Like they have the iPads now and all this stuff. So like, I remember my brothers like typing out on a typewriter for their paperwork, for their term paper and all this stuff in high school. And then like, by the time I got to the age, we had computers and like, I saw the transition happen. So I'm very tech savvy. And when I went to truck driving school, my trainer was like, he's like, what are you doing here? Because most truck drivers are known for being a little bit stupid. So my trainer was like, dude, what are you doing here? I'm like, man, I'm just here. I'm here working. I'm like, leave me alone.
It's a job, man. Yeah,
it's a job. So it's one of those things where like, even my truck driver trainer, like he can recognize something.
Like, you're not a trucker, man. Go to technology, dude.
Yeah, it was one of those things where like, I was like, man, because like he was doing like all this training stuff, and like the way I was in high school is like I never like actually studied for anything. I just read through the book, and then I would like, it's not that I have a photographic memory, but I just knew the stuff because like it was basic mechanics, basic common sense. So like when I'm going through the book, I'm like, what's the answer to this? I'm like, it just pops out. I'm like, dude, what are you doing here? And like, for me,
you should know these answers, man. You should know these answers.
And for me, school was like, it was boring because it wasn't like, there was no challenge.
Let's be honest. School is boring.
School is boring.
But I'm not saying not to go to school, people. Go to school, get your education. That's fine.
I'll say it. Do what you want to do. College doesn't guarantee a paycheck.
Oh no! It really doesn't. We've said this a couple of times in this episode. This is a capitalistic society, so even with our schools, they make money. So,
100%. I took my oldest to a private school, and I'm looking at tuition. I'm looking how many kids per class, and I'm counting their pockets.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing how
that's the business side of my brain working. Even taking my kid to school, my business side's over here.
How many classmates you got? Oh, 15. Okay, and tuition is how much? Oh,
teachers, staff. Yeah. I see security. You're on 100 acres. Okay. You know, and that's just how my mind works. Is like, I'm always looking at the, like, I'll go to events and like, okay, average tickets cost $100. There's about 1,000 people here. Man, this is a really good dinner. Like, I went to an event in Vegas.
Yeah.
And they had a lunch. They had a medallion steak with chicken. I'm like, this is at least $60,000 for 1,000 people. Easy. Maybe 70. So I'm already doing the math on all this stuff. I'm like, this is crazy.
So we have a question. How do we feel about women outdoing men and earning due to higher education?
Women outdoing men and earning higher education. That is a great question.
I
don't think education, like, if you're going to be a doctor, a lawyer, please go to school. I don't want you working on my heart or my knee if you haven't been to school. Like, that's just bottom line. If that's what your all-in-all goal and journey is, please go to school. But I feel like for anything else, like, you could take an online even if you are making under $10, $15 an hour, you can take a Google or Facebook certification. That Google and Facebook is actually free. I think Google is, there's that online Google Ads training course. You can go through it and get certified. Do that for Google and do the Facebook blueprint. Just that alone will make you six figures plus. Doing those two things.
There's definitely so much more. You have access now to so much more courses and stuff to help you develop.
Education.
Yeah, bro. I am a walking bottom of that, man. I've learned so much in just these 3 years. Like, I've learned how to edit video, audio, graphic design. I use Canva to design everything. Now with ChatGPT and all these other tools that you're able to use, it's like, wow. Like, there's ways for you to make money. Like, this, the way it is now, to get into the digital realm right now is a perfect time.
This is the easiest time to become an entrepreneur for everybody here listening and watching, whether you're listening right now or 5 years from now. It is the easiest time to become an entrepreneur, 100%. And there's so much information. Like, YouTube University will teach you more in most cases than anything else. ChatGPT passed a medical exam. You know, it's one of those things where, like, if you want to code, you can use ChatGPT to code for you now. So, like, do I really have to learn how to code? No, you need to prompt the AI to produce the correct answers, and that's it. Like, it's no longer based off of your intelligence or your skills. Like, if you know where to find the answer, that's the all be all.
Yeah, it's so much. There's so many tools out there for you to use as far as in this realm, digital realm and all that.
100%. And like I said, I have my own team. I edited a few of my videos, and then I hired a team, and they do all the editing for me. Like,
I'm not there yet. I'm getting working there. I'm working on that, but I'm not there yet. You know what saved me? Doing lives. Because now I don't have to edit. It's just, it's out there already. So only thing I really have to edit is audio when I'm going to release this and put it into my audio podcast. But other than that, I don't edit video anymore because I don't have to.
And that's the beauty about doing a live.
Yeah.
Like, I asked you when it comes, is this live? Okay, I know it's live, and I know I can't do nothing stupid or something happens.
I do stupid shit here all the time. It's nothing new.
I know, but like, if my kid walks in, I know, like,
I have guests who, like, can we curse? I'm like, go ahead. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, there's no, to me, it's like, if you don't curse, there's problems. But I don't mean you got to drop an F-bomb every word, but there's sometimes the F-bomb got to come out or shit. Something got to come out.
It is what it is.
Yeah. Sometimes it is. But it's fun. I enjoy it. I love being able to do this. I love being able to chat with people, and it's funny because for a while it was like, am I selfish that I'm enjoying this too much?
No,
I know the answer to that. I know the answer.
This is where it comes down to find what you love, because if you find what you love, it never feels like work.
No, not at all. Like, I could probably do another 3 shows today and I'll be fine.
Yeah.
But that's because I love talking. I love talking with people and learning and being able to grow, I guess. And that's why it's not selfish, is because I'm learning, but at the same time, I'm also sharing it with my audience, and they get to learn and grow with me.
Yeah, and that's always the benefit to the host, too, is that the host, you get another perspective that might have never been asked before. But it's one of those things where, like, us as a host, this one conversation we're having can be heard 10,000 times versus having 10,000 conversations with 10,000 people.
So this is a good question. Do you think entrepreneurship is for everyone?
I would say no.
Oh, I agree. Not everyone is built for this. Not everyone is built to be an entrepreneur. Because sometimes you got to realize you're actually going to work harder on your business than you would a 9-to-5 job. Because like you're set at 9-to-5, you know, I'm going in at this time and I'm getting out at this time.
And this is what I'm getting paid.
And
a paycheck's coming on Friday.
Yeah. As an entrepreneur, you don't know when you're getting a paycheck.
100%. I made a tweet the other day was that if you want to get into real estate and you need to get paid every Friday, keep the job.
Yeah. So that's why sometimes when people do start the entrepreneurship, they don't leave their 9-to-5 until they get to the point where they're able to supplement that income. And I recommend that for anyone who's going into entrepreneurship. Don't, unless you really feel confident in yourself and you really don't want to, if you really don't want to be at your job and you really want to go into it, then do it. That's on you. But they are going to, you're not, don't think you're going to get paid every week. Like you probably won't see a check for the first 3-5 years of your business
that you can pocket.
Yeah. That you can not put back into the business. That you can actually say, hey, I get to spend some money.
That is a true statement right here. And my advice to this one is that find somebody that, and this is, you mentioned it earlier, find a mentor. Yeah. If you can find a mentor that's on the path that you want to go down, usually they're willing to train or apprentice you in some shape or form. And you can shortcut a lot of pain that way. You can shortcut a lot of pain because most entrepreneurs are givers in most standpoints. And then a real entrepreneur will recognize another entrepreneur at heart and want to help.
Yeah, that is true. I've come to realize that.
The other thing is, too, is that you don't necessarily have to align with their vision 100%. As long as you dedicate 2 to 3 years or a year, that might be enough time to get that apprenticeship and education that you might be able to absorb 5-10 years of entrepreneurship through that one mentor versus going through the hard times yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know who Facebook uses. Is this still by me? It probably is. I'm an avid believer in learning a skill that can get you paid immediately while you learn what you want to do in life. Do you think that is a waste of time? Not really. Well, if you're actually getting paid like right now to learn what you feel is your craft or whatever it is that you want to do, I don't see it as a waste of time. I see it as a stepping stone. There's a lesson.
So kind of answer to this one is I'll pay people to practice with me.
Yeah.
If they're new, I'm not going to pay you the going rate, but I'll pay you to practice. Like, for instance, I have an ad guy. He's newer at it, but I'm paying him a minimum amount. But is he spending my dollars still? he's practicing with my dollars, but I'm willing to exchange that for him giving me a discount.
Yeah, because he's learning. It's even with me, like even when I first started editing podcasts, people are giving me a chance. They're like, all right, let's see what you got. And if they were happy with the recordings, then we would continue business. But it was them giving me the opportunity to show them that I knew. And at the same time, some of them knew what they were doing and they would just try to break it down. Like, hey, use this program. This will help you out. Use this and this will help you out. And like you said, when someone sees that you're really dedicated and see that you really want to learn, they don't have a problem helping you. They're like, okay, dude, this is what you do. This is how. Because even with the show and me, I'm going into coaching, and I've had coaches on the show. And at the end of the show, they reach out and, hey, listen, anything you need, if you need to speak to someone, you need anything, any advice, just shoot me a message. Because they see the dedication in me. They see that I'm serious about what I'm doing and what I want to learn. And some of these people, their time is precious.
Yeah.
And for them to be like, hey, here's my number. Anytime you got a question or anytime you got anything, shoot me an email. Send me a message. I would love to help you.
Entrepreneurship is lonely.
It is.
It's very lonely.
It is. Not everyone sees the path that you're blazing. No, it's a vision not everyone shares with you.
There's something I want to say to what you said a little second ago, was that a lot of people are like, where do I find a mentor? Where do I find a mentor? And there's a quote that says, when the student is ready, a teacher will appear.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it works.
How many different career paths did you choose?
I used to do lawn care sales. I used to work at a telemarketing place. I worked at forklift operator, truck driver. Now I do real estate and software. So that's kind of my path. And like I said, I started my first entrepreneurship was 25. I was 25. So I've been doing it for 5 years.
So it's crazy because even like I'm 46. I'll be 47 this year. And my generation really wasn't taught about entrepreneurship. It was go to school, get education, go to work, and retire from that job.
That was a respectful thing to do, yeah.
Yeah, that was the thing to do. That's just as I got older and started meeting more people and connecting with more people and meeting entrepreneurs and speaking to them and realizing that, yeah, I still have my 9 to 5 at the moment, but the ultimate goal is to be able to retire it and focus on growing my business. Mm-hmm. And I've been at my job now for almost 10 years, and I get paid to play games. I am a table games dealer. It's if you know how to count to 21, you'll be fine. But it's podcasting and producing and doing what I'm doing in the digital realm has given me a purpose. It's given me something that I didn't know I had. Like, dude, I was 44 years old, didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. Yeah. Didn't have a purpose. Didn't know that podcasting would be what opened up so many different opportunities for me to get into coaching, to do so many different things.
That's awesome, man. What's your goal with podcasting?
What's your goal with podcasting?
All right. My goal is I want to hit 1,000 episodes. That's like my main goal. And for me, it's not really about downloads because I know that'll come eventually, but just hitting 1,000 episodes. Most podcasts fail after 10 and very few hit 100. So I think 330 or so where I'm at, I'll probably hit that in a year or two, maybe 3 years. Who knows? But my goal is to hit 1,000 because not many people hit 1,000. It's a small list.
I feel you. I don't see me stopping anytime soon. As far as my audio podcast, I just released last week 176. Actually, tonight I should be finishing up on releasing edit audio 177. And then as far as video, since I've been doing pre-recorded last year, I've probably recorded another 100 episodes or so.
Just gotta release it, man.
No, the video portions are out. The video portions.
You gotta release the audio ones too.
I know.
Those are the ones that podcast is all about aging. So if you're sandbagging them all, you just gotta release it. Just gotta release it.
Oh no, there's gonna be a time where I'm gonna just batch release a bunch of them, just go crazy. You're gonna end up seeing like 10 different episodes here at least at one time. You're gonna be like, what? Yeah, that's how much content. Yeah,
that's good, man.
So my reason for starting podcasting was I actually wanted to do a sports podcast with a friend, and we just didn't do it. And I started when I got furloughed from work. It was the beginning of the pandemic. I had the equipment, and I was like, man, now is the time. And I just decided to press record and upload.
For me, to get into the real estate space, as far as like coaching, like to get into like real estate space in general, once you get into it, you see like normal faces all around. Like everybody goes through coaching. Like there's a coaching route, and then there's a product route, and then there's a podcast route. I see like three ways. What am I doing? I got the product. I got the podcast and releasing the coaching. So I'm going all three. So people can't say that this is where like I want to create a sales funnel so big that people when they find me they're like, where the heck have these guys been?
Oh, Daniel's been great having you on the show. Now is the time of the show where you get the screen and you just get to plug away, brother.
Man, if you're interested in making 6 figures on one land deal, we have a free, it's a not free, but it's a dollar. I know it's expensive, but you can text course.
He said it's a dollar. I know it's expensive.
Hey, inflation. It's crazy these days. It's been the same price for 3 years, a dollar. Even with all the inflation, I'm probably losing money at this point. But if you text course, C-O-U-R-S-E, to 210-972-1842, we have a couple videos we recorded for that. And then we're at HiveMind CRM everywhere. We have our own podcast called The Hive With Us Podcast. The HiveMind Brains, which you did not ask me. I was hoping you'd ask me. But this is the reason why I have so many brains around me is that these are all the people that contribute to The HiveMind, which makes us smarter every day. So that's why we have a really cool brand and a really cool mission. And we're changing people's lives in business and lives in general. We've helped a lot of people make a lot of money, and it's kind of cool to say that. And we're trying to make a bunch of millionaires. So if you can get behind that, come check us out. HiveMind CRM, we have a free Facebook group. And then we're out here creating a lot of content. If you look hard enough, you'll find us. Guarantee it.
Who wouldn't want to be down with helping people make money?
Yeah.
Well, I did say your background was cool, though.
You did say it was cool, but you didn't ask why. So, like,
whenever, I kind of figured they were mines and stuff, and there was a bunch of them. And when I thought of hive mind, I think of bees, and they look probably all like little, represent like bees and stuff in all different mines. But that's just me.
So this is where it comes down to, like, a lot of people, they try and do it by themselves, and they can only get so far by themselves because you might not have the information, yeah. You might have the knowledge, you might have the money, you might not have all the tools it gets to get there. But when you contribute in a single organized, like a beehive or hive mind, whatever, you can all get there together. So it's a lot of community aspect.
Like this, like my team is not that big. It's just three of us, but we all know our roles. We all know, like Brandy, she calls herself the app whore because she's always learning about a different app and she's different. Like I find myself on platforms that I didn't even know I was on because she's putting it out everywhere. She's like, they're like, hey dude, I just found your podcast on this. I'm like, okay. I say, oh, Brandy strikes again. But that's her thing. She knows how to market. She knows how to be out everywhere and just like every day she's reaching out, hey, this is a new app. You need to check it out. Or you need to go to this website. You need to go speak on here. And that's where she is. Me, I'm more of the tech guy, like the mics, the programs that I used to edit. That's me. And then we got my nephew who's just, he does a lot, but yeah, he's just, he's the character. He's the one that, but he does his thing. He's the one who got me into doing it because he had already started his YouTube channel and he would just come on and talk and he didn't consider himself a podcaster until I got him an interview on a show and the guest and the host actually made him realize that he was a podcaster.
Good. So, no, you just got to go out there and produce, man. Go produce content. It is what it is. Like people are like, oh, you're just a YouTuber. I'm like, yeah, I'm a YouTuber. I mean, I'm everywhere. You can call me. Yeah,
I'm not only on YouTube. Like, yeah, right now, I am streaming. I'm streaming to eight different. Like, one of the questions is Facebook your main platform? No, I'm learning that I have a platform in LinkedIn that needs to be really used. I'm going to eight different locations: two Facebook groups, Twitch, LinkedIn, two YouTube channels. And a Roku channel, the BS3 network, and that's where it's streaming to right now.
As you should. You need to tell who's your app person?
Brandy.
Brandy, tell her to hook up Rumble.
She's on that already.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, she's on Swell, Rumble, Wisdom, any of those apps. She's like, I'm telling you that I'm downloading a different app every other week. Like, you need to get this app. Yeah.
See, for me is I want to be found everywhere. So I'm literally everywhere. I'm on Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube,
Rumble. If StreamYard would allow me to stream to more different, I would, but it's eight, so that's fine. I'm good with that right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I use Restream and they're allowing the capability to stream to Instagram.
Okay. So what I love about StreamYard now is the new feature that they added. Now I can create reels directly on StreamYard. Like after this episode, like I can go back and repurpose little clips, 60-second clips, and put it on Instagram as a reel, which saves me time because now I don't really have to download the app. I don't have to download the video.
You need to get an editor.
I do.
As much as you like editing, this is where one of my things is that a lot of entrepreneurs, they get in their own way.
And I'm not going to argue with you on that one.
I'm gonna poke a little bit.
I'm not gonna say you're wrong. I'm not gonna say you're wrong. I'm not. Sometimes you gotta let go of the reins. Sometimes you have to like know when to let it go. But
the show is sponsored by the List Guys. Do you need more leads in your local or virtual market? 1 in 10 small businesses don't invest in any kind of marketing. The List Guys have over 35 plus list types to choose from, and you can mix and match any list or criteria. We also use the Skip Trace list and provide up to 7 numbers and email addresses. Every list you purchase will be scrubbed against previous purchases. The List Guys are here to save you time. Contact the List Guys today at www.1listguys.com. That's www.1listguys.com.
He says, that's the, where would you find an editor? It's, oh, everywhere.
I found editors, and this is the dope thing about technology. I found two editors in the Philippines.
So, like, okay, so people might look down, but listen, when you look at, like, what was it? Yeah, you can definitely find editors and all types for very low price.
People look like, I told my family that I have Filipino workers, and I have 5 right now. And they're like, oh, why are you outsourcing it out other countries? And I'm like, man, I'm taking care of families globally. I'm not, yeah. I'm no respecter. Like, I'll support people anywhere. I don't really care. And for me, as a business owner, it's cost effective.
It's cost effective. Like, we're not.
I can do more effectively mm-hmm. by hiring outside of the U.S.
Yes.
I'm not saying I wouldn't hire a U.S. editor in the future. It's just right now, the way my business is set up.
Yeah, you have to do it that way. It's, you're going to pay a ridiculous amount for editor here in the States compared to someone, if you hire someone from the Philippines or even India or somewhere else in a different country. Yep. But you got to, as a small business owner, you have to think about cost. Yep. Like, sometimes you just can't afford to pay all that extra money. You need to go with what's going to be the most cost effective for you.
The place I use is onlinejobs.ph. It's a website. It's just like LinkedIn, but it's for the Philippines.
So you see, you heard him, online jobs, PH. So
.ph, yep.
.ph.
Yep. That's where I found the most of my people, but they're amazing people, man. They do great work. If you see any videos online, that's all them.
Okay, definitely. But don't leave just yet. Thank you for being on the show. This has been great. I appreciate you being on the show, man. This has been fun. But this, don't leave yet. I'm gonna close out the show and then we're gonna chat a little bit more.
Hey, I got you.
All right. So let's do the closeout. All right. Big shout out to everybody in the chat. B Snow, Ben, Rod, I guess Hack is your name. This is Hack. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Hack, for being thank you for the questions, man. Appreciate all the comments and the questions, man. Appreciate it. But now it is time for shout outs. Big shout out to my Real Wise fam, Poppy J, Brandy J. Love you guys. Big shout out to the boss, Lady Fina. I love you and appreciate you, baby. Big shout out to our guest, Daniel Martinez, for coming through and just having a good time, man. Appreciate it. And as always, a big, big shout out to all the essential workers out there. God bless y'all. Be safe. You know your boy Wise does it. Peace out.
Hey guys, we hope you're enjoying this content. If you have leads that you need to dispo anywhere in the country, please visit HiveBC.io, like HiveBuyersClub.io, and we'll help you move those deals that you need to get into the marketplace.